Well, good morning again, Neely's Creek Sunday School, and I am glad to be with you. I am with you in a way that is not and continues to not be normal, as we would call it, as we maybe have many a year experienced Sunday school. So I applaud you for continuing and endeavoring to hide God's word in your heart, and for continuing to even listen to these when, in reality, sometimes when we break habits, even being together on a Sunday morning, as unimaginable as it could possibly seem to not come together if we were talking 6 months ago. That has become a reality for a time and for a season. We pray an even shorter season. But I would challenge and ask what the Lord is doing now in your heart and in our hearts as a church. Because the Lord has not ceased working in us. The Lord has not ceased to love us. The Lord calls us His children, and we cannot, because of Jesus, cease to be His children. And so I would challenge you, even in the midst of continuing possible uncertainty, continuing, I would dare say, even fear, because we can, in our own strength, in our own trusting of ourselves, we especially fear, because we desire to be in control. In our own flesh, we desire to be in control. And that really comes from our pride, but I think we operate in that more than we would like to admit. So I would challenge you, as God's word, I'm sure, will challenge you this morning. I would challenge you to, if we're operating in our own strength and a dependence upon ourselves, that we would not just simply admit it, but that we would even turn and repent of it. And that we would live in such a way that we show that we are the children of God, and that we walk with Him. We do not walk by ourselves, but we walk with Him. Oh, 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 to chapter 3, verse 10 is a precious, precious passage. And I would like for us to spend a few moments in it this morning, and even kind of thinking through what I've already, the road that I've already begun to take us down. So let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we ask that You would remind us, that You would love us, that You would remind us in Your love that we are Your children. Lord, if it is this word that we need this morning so desperately, and I'm sure it is, that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, press it upon our hearts. That, Lord, if we are wondering, if we have turned and we are walking away from where You would have us to be, whether that be by fear or by pride or even in sin, that You would return us, that You would cause us to desire more and more Your goodness and Your presence, and coming and actually communing with You, spending precious time with You. Lord, I repent of any sin that I may have done against You, that I have done against You. And I ask that You would, by Your own Spirit, enable me to speak truth to the heart. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. So let's look at our text here. Page 33 in your quarterly. We're coming to the end of the quarterly. Your quarterly has much, much more behind us than it does in front of us. And so it's been a summer with this and a summer by this medium of recorded audio. And so we look forward to a new quarterly and more time together. Chapter 2, verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not love us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever practices a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God keeps abiding in him. And he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." All right. So there are a few themes, New Testament themes, themes that should not be new to us as believers, and themes that should not have been new even to John's writer, who John was writing to. We have the theme of being children of God. Secondly, we have this theme of abiding in him. And then woven throughout is a theme of what will be. We have the theme of what will be to come. We have this sense of waiting, this sense of anticipation, this sense of excitement of if we are God's children and we abide in him, we understand and we wait excitedly. And we also wait patiently, and also we wait primed for that moment and that day, because we wait vigilantly. We wait as we practice righteousness. whereby looking as we should as the children of God. So those are the main themes that I would like to pick out of this morning's passage. Let's talk about children for a moment. It says children. Now, as I've probably mentioned before, but when thinking about children of God, when we think about children, we don't think about children as being a child from the perspective of being a child. For instance, when we introduce ourselves to one another, or when we introduce ourselves to someone that we have never met before, we generally introduce ourselves by saying something to the fact of, "Hi, my name is Ben. My name is Bob. My name is Gene. I live in Rock Hill. You know, down the road, around the corner. You know where so-and-so's house used to be or where so-and-so's restaurant used to be? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We know where that is. Interesting," is what the other party would say. And then what do we say? "Well, what do you do?" "Well, I'm a banker or a lawyer or a salesperson, a realtor, a teacher, a preacher." So we say those kinds of things. We say how many children we may have, how many dogs we may have, cats we may have, how old we are. We say these things in order to begin a conversation and to give some setting to our lives. It's kind of like we were trying to tell a story. And instead of saying, "Well, once upon a time, in a land far away, there lived in a beautiful castle a young maiden named Rapunzel with long hair." That's the setting of the story. So we try to give a setting, we try to foreground our lives by telling things about ourselves. But let me get to the point of the matter. If we are children, there's not as many things of that nature that we can say about ourselves. Generally, above our name, and maybe if we stretch it a bit, our favorite sandwich, our favorite sport, our favorite subject in school, the most pertinent information that a child can give or that they can convey to someone else is who their parent, some cases their guardian, but who their parent is. That's how all the other information that they could give will be received. It will be received in the context of their relationship to that one or those parents. So going back to our text, "And now, little children, abide in him." Little children. John identifies the Christians that he is writing to as little children. Christians, your identity is bound to the Father. Your identity is found in the Son. Your identity has been made known in the Spirit. Because the Spirit has made you alive. The Son has redeemed and rescued you. The Father, by His own will, has sent the Son so that you might be His, in order that He may, He being Jesus, present you to his Father as holy, as clean, as righteous, in order that you may dwell in his presence as sons and daughters forever. So do not mistake, and do not make the mistake of finding identity, Christians, and anything else but your Father. You are now children. That is your identity. And so when you state who you are, we should find it very difficult to state who we are apart from, I am who I am because of my Father, because of his Son, and through the Holy Spirit. We should find it very difficult to say much else about ourselves if we understand the truths that John is revealing here. So John continues and he says, little children, abide in him. Abide. We need to ask ourselves what that means. We need to ask ourselves, how do we do that? Open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 15. Let's remind ourselves from God's Word. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, this is Jesus speaking, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. That word abide, remaining in him. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It's just like if a branch falls to the ground, it dries. There are no leaves left, and we pick it up and we toss it into the fire. Unless that branch remains attached to the tree, attached to the vine in this wording, in Jesus Christ, it will die. It will not bear fruit. It will not be profitable in the Lord's kingdom. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So taking up that word abide in the New Testament context, John chapter 15 is a wonderful place to have your mind just soaked in this idea from the lips of Jesus, talking about himself being the vine in which you must remain in order that you might bear fruit and you may live. First John chapter 3 and verse 1, what kind of love has the Father given us that we should be called the children of God? There's almost an exclamation. What kind of love? What manner of love is this? The verse comes, just roars into my mind. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. What great price it was. The parable. The pearl of greatest price. Or the parable in which a man finds treasure in a field and he goes and sells everything that he has. Everything to go and buy that field because it's a treasure of greatest price. The love that the Father has bestowed upon us is a treasure of greatest price, for it has made us and given us the rights to become the children of God. Let that soak in for a moment. It has given us the rights to become the children of God because of the relationship, the restored relationship that we now have with the Father through the Son. verse 2 says, "Beloved, we are God's children now." Not in the future. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. What does he mean by that? If we're God's children now, and we have a hard, almost a hard stop there, so that we don't recognize that we will be God's children in the future, but we are God's children now, why does he then turn and say, but what we will be, that was a tongue twister, what we will be, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. What is he talking about? Because he says, what we will be has not appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Brothers and sisters, you are being sanctified. You are being sanctified is a large word that many of you have heard, and many of you probably know how to define. But in short, you are being made like him. Made like him. What does that mean? It means that in the process of what the Spirit is at work in you doing, that work which he will complete for the day of Christ Jesus, you are being made like him. You not only have a relationship with him, but when he appears, when he returns, when he restores all things, when he comes again, and he separates the sheep and the goats, when he separates the saints from those who do not know him. Saints, when we are with him, we will be made whole. We will be made like him. We will be not what we are now, but we will be perfect. To illustrate this, C.S. Lewis once said, if we could see the most menial, I believe is the word he used, saint now, as that saint will be in the presence of Jesus Christ, we would be sorely tempted to fall down and worship that one. The glory of what we will be, we will reflect in perfect relationship the glory of God as we are made like him. Also read Ephesians chapter 1. It's a magnificent thought, a magnificent promise, and a magnificent hope. So how do we evidence that we are the children of God? In this living, we live in this hope. So how do we evidence it? We evidence it by showing that we have been made righteous, that we have a relationship with God, and God is changing us. The Spirit is at work in us, and he will bring it to completion. And so if we are not consistently looking more and more like him, we need to question the relationship. Are you abiding in this one? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Are you daily turning and repenting from sin? Are you daily loving your brothers and your sisters? Are you daily seeking the priority of the relationship that you have with God as first and foremost? If you are not, run to him. Run to Jesus. He is waiting. He is willing to take you in and to make you a son or a daughter. He has laid down his own life that you may take up his life as that child. So as our time is away, I hope this gives you a few things to meditate, to pray about, to seek the Lord over this week, to mull over in your mind as it's being renewed by God's Word. Thank you.